Again, we note there is a connection between every one of these paragraphs. It is not open, it's not obvious, but if you look at it closely, you'll find the connection. The next topic in chapter 26, Benazel speaks about the negative power of shikha, forgetting. Person has the power of retaining memory. Then there is the opposite, shikha, forgetting. Forgetting is something that is the opposite of enlightening. Remembering is a light. When you remind yourself of something, it means a light has been lit, ignited. But when something is forgotten, there is darkness. That's why the word shikha is the letters hachishach, the darkness. Abinadal says that this shikha we consider a fault, a shortcoming. The world generally considers this a very bad shortcoming. One who is cursed with shikha. One who is blessed with a good memory, we consider fortunate. One who suffers from shikha, that when he learns something, he forgets it quickly, or he forgets what he hears, he does not retain well, that's considered a shortcoming, a very big chisoron in the eyes of the world. Baal says, but in fact, there is something very beneficial about shikha. It serves a purpose that is very precious. And that is, for example, if there was no shikha, a person would not forget, then if he would commit a sin, this sin would torment him so that he would never stop suffering at the pangs of remorse and regret over the committing of a sin. But time heals. He tends to forget. He forgets the seriousness of his crime and is able to turn back to Hashem, to serve Hashem with simcha, without any longer suffering over the act committed. So in this sense, there is a gain through shikha. He gains because he can turn back to Hashem, serve Hashem properly with sincerity. Also, whatever would happen in the past, things that are misfortunes, even if it is not united as a memory, misfortune would happen to the person in business, in health, family matters, these too would cause a person anguish. He would not be able to concentrate on whatever duty he has. So forgetting about them gradually, when we say time heals, it means that a person tends to forget. A person is ready to return to his regular duties. Also, it's a very good bit of advice for a person who wants to serve Hashem. Because, for example, the person has done things wrong, as every person has. Each person who's honest with himself knows he has not really lived a life of purity, has not even had one single day when he could say that he really served Hashem properly. He fulfilled his mission in life that one day. The person knows that. So when the time comes to daven before Hashem, at the time of davening, it is natural, it is normal, that just when he begins to daven, and other thoughts begin to penetrate, to enter into his mind, and they confuse him. His mind becomes bemuddled rather than lucid, rather than clear, and concentrating on the words he says. What happens then is that the thoughts about the wrong things he did enter his mind, the thoughts about the mistakes he made in business, what he could have done better, other things that went wrong for himself, and things that bother him that make up in the time of davening. So here, a person should force a power of shikha, force himself to put these things out of his mind and be able to concentrate purely on the present. The fact that he's davening before Hashem, whatever he did wrong, put it aside now. You'll repent for it later on, but now you're coming to Hashem as a brand new person. Becoming anew with a desire to serve Hashem, to daven before Hashem in purity. The Sefer HaKodesh say also that the reason that Hashem created shikha means the power of forgetting. It is a power. It does exist. It exists because it was created. This item of shukla, forgetfulness, the Medrash says was created by Hashem, so that when a person learns Torah, and he will tend to forget, and he goes back to it, he will find that these words are new to him. He'll enjoy the same page again and again as something new. When the thing is new, you enjoy it. If it's reviewed, if it's old, then you begin to lose interest. So Hashem created shukla that a person, even if his mind is not deep enough to delve into the words of Torah and find new depth, new information, the same words he will have forgotten enough to enjoy this as new. Many people can understand this very clearly. You learn a piece of Gemara a year ago, go back to it now, and you find that you do not recognize it at all. Every word is brand new, as though you never saw it in your life. Some people are better. They learned it a week ago. They find, too, that a week later, it's 100% new. They don't recall a word they learned. There are some who have that a minute after they finish learning. They close the Gemara. They close the Gemara. They're asked, what did you learn now? Well, they cannot recall for the life of them what was said. They felt happy when they learned it. And then when they come back in the afternoon to review that page, they appreciate this as a novel experience. It's a new Gemara rather than a review. And this, the Medrash says, is for a person's benefit so that he can actually enjoy the Gemara that he learns. Now, Abinadel says that a person who learns Torah, this is a very important lesson, a person who learns Torah and does so sincerely, he knows that learning Torah is a major mitzvah for two reasons. For one thing, you have the greatest mitzvah possible. Is simply the mitzvah of learning Torah. Every word you learn is a mitzvah. Second item is that when you learn, you know then what to do, obeying Hashem's commands, because you are learning about the mitzvahs of Hashem. However, as a person who learns, he is not blessed, he's not endowed with a good memory. He feels very sadly about this. He tries very hard, he puts his heart and soul into it. He struggles to learn a page of Gemara or any other cipher, and then, a short time later, it slips his mind. And he is heartbroken. He tries again. The Gemara says, no matter how hard you try, if you're not blessed with a memory, it does not help. You can sharpen your mind to delve into an item, to go into more depth, more deeply, to understand more deeply, but you cannot sharpen your mind, you're not sharpening your memory. That's a blessing. You don't have that blessing, you have the opposite. You have shikha, you forget what you learned, there's no way to retain it. There are no real exercises in improving a person's memory, despite the advertisements about it. But this exercise is the daven. Pray to Hashem to bless you with a better memory. Now, in a case like this, Abinadel says, there are people who tend to forget, and that would be the majority, who have the shortcoming of a poor memory. And so they forget what they learn. They struggle. They feel very badly. They suffer over this shikhar. And it also says, for these people who suffer over shikhar, the result is then that they begin to become so discouraged, they feel there is no use, no benefit in studying Torah. Why study if you're going to forget anyhow? And it also says, a word of advice to these people. A mushal. This mushal, by the way, is found in the Medrash. And it also says it for a reason. Mushal is that a person, a wealthy man, once hired a group of people to fill barrels with water. They were given barrels, empty barrels, were told, draw water from the well and fill these barrels. It was a large group. Among them were wise men, among them were fools. And they were told, this is your duty, this is your work. Labor at it for so many hours per day at a certain given rate of salary. They began to pour water into the barrels, and they found that the bottom had a large hole in it. They poured the water into the barrel, the water would escape. There was no way they could fill these barrels. They worked at it for a while, but the one person, a fool, said, I give up. There's no sense. It's foolish. It's ridiculous. Why pour water into a barrel that doesn't hold any water? What's the sense of doing something which is so ridiculous? I'll stop. I refuse to go any further.
A chacham, the wise man, said to him, a person who was truly wise, said to him,
what is your business? What's your affair? And what difference does it make to you if this barrel has no bottom? What difference does it make if the barrel has a bottom or does not have a bottom? If it holds water, does not hold water? What should count with you is only the fact that you're being paid for the work you're doing. Whether the barrel has a bottom or not, you're receiving a salary, a given salary, for every time you pour water into this barrel. So why should you stop now and lose this salary, lose this treasure? And this is the same thing. Benito says that we are given a wage, not money, much more precious than that. A mitzvah for every word of Torah that we learn. The mitzvah means that through this mitzvah, an angel is created. This angel remains forever a servant of that person in heaven. The person receives Gan Eden, eternal paradise, for each word of Torah that he learns. This is your reward for learning Torah. Now, why, if you forget Torah, should you stop? What is the difference whether you forget or you don't? As long as for every word you learn, you still will receive the same reward as the next person who remembers the words that he learns. So if you stop learning because you forget, it's the same foolish act as the person who stopped because the barrel had no bottom to it. Your mind is like a barrel without a bottom. You keep pouring words into it and they come out. But it's not lost because every word you pour into it is a mitzvah and you receive schar, pure heavenly reward for it. Then it also says the person should be very far from discouraged. You forget the said item. Pray, daven, to retain what you learned. If you had to work more on an item than a normal person, but you do not lose one iota of credit, of reward, for the labor you put into studying Torah. That's interesting to note that there is a mushul in the Gemara similar to this. The Gemara says that a king once hired a group of men and told them, I want you to stay at the seashore with large pails. I want you to fill these pails from the sea and pour it onto the sand. I want, when you empty the sea, you'll have sand underneath. I want the sea moved over to the sand, the beach moved over to the sea. Keep working until you're finished. And people started to work for a while. One of them, again the fool, said, I'll work all day, all week, and all month. The sea will remain full of water. The land will remain full of sand. There's no way to exchange these two. So what is the sense, the benefit of working at this? Gemara says that the wise man said to him, what is empty is not the sea, but your head. Dekar, your head is very, very empty. Take your pay from the king and be happy and be satisfied. Whether the sea is here or there is the king's business. Meanwhile, you're getting paid for it. Now, the Medrash says, again in the same vein, that a person who's told, you must learn, you should study Torah day and night. Study Torah, what is Torah? Very simple. Here's the Torah. You have this Torah consists of 5 chumashim, 19 books of the prophets' scriptures, and 6 divisions of Mishnayos, 60 or 63 Gemaras, and 4 divisions of Shulchan Aruch, hundreds of thousands of commentaries on the Gemara, and then you have the later commentaries, Echlinim, Peskim, on the Shulchan Aruch, and you have the Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus, and practically an infinite number of Sforim. Learn Torah, this is the Torah. Now, miles and miles of Sforim. Person sees this, he jumps back and says, never. No sense in beginning because I can never get anything done here. What's the sense of undertaking a task like this? Medrash says, fool, the wise person understands that if he's told, for example, here's a mountain, I want this mountain moved over 20 yards. Move the mountain to this other section, past the borderline. It's a large mountain, a mountain of sand. How do you move a large mountain of sand? He said simply, I'll take
Every so often, a few barrels full of sand, I move it there. It wouldn't show up. Eventually, I work on it long enough, it's going to be missing from the mountain. Eventually, this mountain, or part of it, will move to the other side. Eventually, I can't do it in 1 second, or 1 day, or a week. But at the passing of time, if I work at it diligently, I will move that mountain. The same thing here, the Gemara says, the Medrash says, a person should understand, our work at this Teder, it's so vast, and it takes up so much space, and it's impossible to count the words in it, or even the number of Sforim. But with patience, with diligence, I learn 2 pages a day, that's all. But I'll stick to it. 2 pages today, 2 more pages tomorrow. I'll try to add to it. Little by little, I will eat up these pages and these Sforim. You'll find yourself covering one Sefer after the other. But if you're a fool, you give up immediately, you surrender to the fact that it's impossible, you'll cover nothing. This will at least part of the mountain of Teder will be covered. The Medrash says then that the truth is, a person could cover Teder practically all of it, at least to a limited depth, because the Teder is given to people on earth. It is not given to angels. It's given to those who are human. And these humans are told, study Teder, you work hard at it, you'll be able to cover it. We have seen cases of people who were brought up in neighborhoods where they never heard of the word Teder. And they come suddenly to a new surrounding where they listen to a few words of Teder. They are magnetized, they're drawn to it. They suddenly feel there awakens within them a fire, a spark of the neshama, a desire, a craving to learn more, to hear more of these sacred words of Teder, words of Hashem. And so they begin to want to learn. They can't even understand the language. They can't read the words of the Chumash. Chumash, the basic part of the Teder. But the desire is so strong, they sit down, patiently begin to learn how to read the Aleph Beis. Then they slowly advance to read words of Chumash, speaking about those who are in the teens or the 20s even. And with patience, where others feel that there's no sense in trying to teach them anymore. And I've seen them sit down, take to it with patience, with desire, with diligence, and continue on for one topic to the next, on to actual Gemara and Tesfus and Rishonim. And after a few years, they're able to catch up to the best of those who learned Teder all their lives. Here they are only 3 years old. They're already in the same level with those who started at the age of 5. How is that possible? Because of that determination. And that determination is such, where if a person determined to learn Teder, as Lady Kodesh says, the Teder opens its heart to this person and allows the person to enter. You want to learn Teder, the Teder will open, will enter into your mind, take you to itself, and will merge together with that person. So we can find cases where a person can actually learn a lot of Teder in a very short period of time, though he's not that sharp. His mind is not so sharp, and yet he finds himself in the same class, the same level, as others who have struggled and strived for so many years. And this is because the main thing is the Ratzon, the desire, the striving, and not losing hope. A determination without end to reach a goal, to be able to study Teder as a person who was brought up with Teder and to learn, to retain, to cover whatever he's supposed to, his requirements in fulfilling the mitzvahs and also the primary mitzvah of learning Teder every day. A person who adopts this as a way of life is assured that the Teder will draw him close to itself. The Teder is like a color. We mentioned once the Teder is like a bride who looks forward to seeing the chassan as much as the chassan wants to see the bride. And the more the chassan seeks this bride, the more the color reveals herself to the chassan. Until the time they actually merge into one, the person, the Jew and the Teder become one. And that's why the Zayi Kodesh says, that who is a Jew? What is a Jew? A Jew is part of Hashem. What is the Teder? The Teder is part of Hashem. And therefore, the Jew is the Teder. And that's why the Jew is composed of, created of exactly the same number of parts exactly as the Torah is. Torah contains 613 precepts, 248 commands of asay, positive commands, 365 leisase, negative commands. A person, too, is created of exactly the same number of parts, 248 organs exactly, and 365 tendons, to show that the Jew and Hashem, the Jew and the Torah, are one. Abinadel says now, we spoke about consolation. We console a person whose mind is weak. You forget, you'll still receive your reward. Now, Abinadel says, da. Da means I want to reveal a secret to you. The secret comes from Atzilus. This is a Kabbalah. It means it comes from Atzilus, or let's say a cablegram from Atzilus, which is the highest of the worlds. This, of course, is mentioned in the Zohar Kodesh too. Then Zohar brings it out in a more positive form. That a person who learns Torah on this world, during his lifetime, he learns, he strives, he does his best, but to no avail, he forgets. So he finds that he has learned 10 Gemaras. He remembers only 10 pages. He learned 100 pages and knows only 10. 90 pages seem to have gone lost. Person works hard. He wants to understand. He goes to a shiur. He is told there is a shiur given by the Tzaddik Gems. He travels cross-country to a different country. They come to the city of Breslov, to the city of Uman, to hear the Tzaddik Gems say a shiur. He comes to the Tzaddik Gems' table. He bends his ear. He strains his brain, his mind. He hears the words. He cannot grasp the meaning of the words. This whole trip seems to have been in vain. He does not understand a word of what he listened to. It's far beyond his grasp. He doesn't understand it. And it says, now, these two people, one who has learned a lot, who finds that his mind is like a sieve. It's gone. It's lost. Seemingly lost. One who has strived very hard, is concentrated to the best of his ability, but he could not grasp or understand, let alone retain, the words of the Shia which he heard. To these two, Nebuchadnezzar says, da, you should know, a message from heaven. Fact, absolute fact, that whatever he learned and forgot, whatever he listened to and did not understand, did not go lost at all. It is retained, it is saved in heaven. When a person goes to heaven, when a person gets to Gan Eden, he suddenly finds there waiting for him everything that he learned. Whatever he forgot is returned to him there. The moment he gets there, he reminds himself of everything he learned, and whatever he heard and does not understand, he now understands fully. So nothing was in vain. Nothing went lost. He heard a shiur in Gemara and Tezus, and he's showing him. Pilpul, he couldn't follow the shiur, but he tried. He feels very bad because he sees others who did understand it. Was his effort in vain? Was his struggle in vain? It was not, because that shiur did not go lost. That shiur is his. When he gets to Gan Eden or fire, that shiur is all that. Not one word went lost. Abinadel says, therefore, ashrei to that person who spends his life on Torah. You spend your life, you learn a lot, you've forgotten, you don't remember, you don't understand. Whatever you covered is invested, it's deposited on your account. It's just like giving money for tzedakah. The Torah you studied, the not grasp, is still yours. You will have it there. Now the question, of course, arises, if we study this carefully, person, we said, will have all that he learned in Gan Eden, meaning that he sat at his shiur, did not understand it, it is his, will have it as though he understood it. Person learned and forgot, it's also his. He comes to Gan Eden and finds that nothing is lost. In that case, then, what is the difference between one who has a good head and is able to understand the shiur well, and one who has a good memory and is able to accumulate, amass a large amount of information, a large amount of knowledge, to one who has an empty head or a weak brain? What is the difference then? In the long run, true, but for the period of time in his life, there is a difference. But the time that counts is the eternity afterwards,
is there no difference between one person and the next? We find this answer very delicately. The words of Rabbein Ezel. Rabbein Ezel had a number of Talmidim very, very close. Rabbi Nosson Zal was the main Talmud Muvhak, who wrote all the sayings of Rabbein Ezel. Rabbi Naftali Zal was Rabbi Nosson Zal's closest friend. These two were the closest to me to Rabbein Ezel. Next was Rabbi Adam Zal, who was the Dov in the city of Breslov. And Rabbi Adam Zal was also a Talmud Muvhak of Rabbein Ezel. He was so close, Rabbein Ezel took him close, he brought him close to himself. Rabbein Ezel himself worked on getting him close to him. Because Rabbein Ezel liked Rabbi Adam Zal so much that he strived to be mekarev him to himself. Now, Rabbein Ezel once said to Rabbi Adam Zal, these words that are very rare, Rabbein Ezel said to him, I like you very, very much. To get such words to Rabbein Ezel, they surpass anything we can imagine. Sadi Gebel said, I like you very, very much. And therefore, Rabbein Ezel, of course, I like you so much, therefore I bless you. That not now, but after you pass away, in Gan Eden, you should be zecher to understand my sichas chul, which means the light talk, not my deep lessons, but the sichas chul, the light talk that I said, everyday talk, zecher bearing an Eden, when you attain a very deep sense of understanding, there to understand my sichas chul, the lightest talk of mine. Which would mean then, would seem, that all those sitting around the table with Rabbein Ezel, when he spoke this light talk, a kol shegein shuli, and he gave this difficult lesson, without Rabbein Ezel's blessing, because he likes them so much, how could they expect to understand then the words of the Tzaddik Emes? If understanding the Sichas Chul requires a special bracha, a very special one, how can they understand then the depth of the words of Rabbein Ezel's regular shiur? Of course, this is understood. This fact, because Rabbein Ezel's Talmud Muvhak was at Nachman Tolchin Zal, who had a son who wrote the Sefer Bi'ur Likutim. This Sefer is one of the deepest masterpieces out. It's the work of a groin of law, Rabbi Nachman Zal. And in part of this work, Rabbi Nachman Zal wrote, he wrote these words with sincerity, with depth, understanding what he's saying. He said, I want to wish upon myself. If I could achieve a wish, I would wish that when I get to Gan Eden, there a person continues to study Torah. What does a person do in Gan Eden? Doesn't play chess. Doesn't watch ball games. There he becomes closer and closer to Hashem, goes deeper and deeper into the secrets of Torah, begins to really understand the spiritual value, the spiritual bliss and pleasure of understanding the richness of Torah, the word of Hashem. So a person learning in Gan Eden, the yeshiva of heaven, yeshiva of Moshiach, yeshiva of Meshach Rabbeinu, yeshiva of Mekiba, yeshiva of yeshiva, yeshiva of the chief angel of Malchum Tess, and the Yisrael who learns there constantly continues to advance in the knowledge of Torah with such rebbes. Imagine. So a person learning there can, of course, and with all the knowledge that he had during his lifetime, which he now receives as a gift, advancing from there on, imagine then how much he can cover in a week's time in such a yeshiva without wasting any time. In a year's time, one full year learning at a heavenly yeshiva, a person can surely cover more there than in many lifetimes on earth. This stipend, Rabbi Nachman Zal said, I wish, I pray, that I should be zecher, that after being in Eden, 10,000 years, 10,000 years successively, I should be zecher then, all I pray for, zecher then, to understand one statement of Rabbein Ezel. That's all. Well, how that cut, understand one by Rabbein Ezel, the way it was said while Rabbein Ezel was in this earth, not where he is then in heaven. So deep is Rabbein Ezel's word. And of course, he knew what he was saying, he knew what he was praying for, and therefore, again, this would tend to explain that point.
Benedict said a person will be able to revive that which he lost on earth through shikha, through forgetting. It will all come back to him. He'll be able to understand that which he failed to understand on earth. But to what degree will he understand it? The level that he was while on this earth. You cannot have two people understand that item at the same level. You can't have a Gaon, a genius, a Rosh Yeshiva, and a small Talmud understand the same piece of Gemara the same way. They both read the Gemara, they both understand the Gemara, but one has a lot of depth besides that, and one has it superficially or a little slightly deeper. But if that depth or understanding itself is missing, that understanding will come to the person as soon as he arrives in Gan Eden. He will not start with a blank mind. He'll start with all the knowledge he attained, achieved, amassed, accumulated while he was on earth. With that as a beginning, he will then go on to advance further and further. Therefore, the Benazal says, Ashe to that person who devotes his time to the study of Torah, because he will come to Gan Eden rich. He come there, you'll have all this Torah which you learned but didn't understand, learned but forgot. It will all come back to you then. You will start with not 10 pages, but the 100 which you learned originally. Not with the 100, but the 1,000 which you may have covered but didn't understand. Therefore, it pays for a person to strive to learn to deposit this. And don't worry about forgetting, because it's all deposited very safely. If it's forgotten, it will be reminded a person gets to gain without question. So that the greatest advice then is for a person to devote his time to the study of Torah and to realize, to know, that there is Yesh Schar Yosef Mavet. This too, he brought in the Sifrei Kabbalah, that the greatest person too. Do not think for a moment, for example, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Zecha, that during his stay on earth, 40 days in heaven, where he was at Mahar Sinai, went to heaven to get the Torah, Hashem taught him the entire Torah. He knew everything in the Torah and taught this to the Jews. But should a person think for a moment that he covered every single part of the Torah and knew it all already? The answer is naturally that's impossible. Even Moshe Rabbeinu could not have known the first word of the Torah in its entirety. This is not saying that there's any chisaruch hasashol. This is saying only that the only one that knows the Torah completely is Hashem, because the Torah is Hashem. The Torah is the word of Hashem, which is just as infinite as Hashem himself. And therefore, every tzaddik, from the smallest to the greatest, every Jew, should strive, they do strive, to achieve more and more knowledge, because there is no end to this. But the more they achieve, the closer they get to Hashem, which, of course, is an infinite task. And therefore, to this day, Moshe Rabbeinu himself is still studying and still gaining knowledge in heaven without him, without a halt. This is the true aspect of Gan Eden itself. A gain of Gan Eden is the enlightenment of a person's mind. We see now this great blessing that Hashem gave to a Jew, the brain, a moyach, which is the most important part of a person. Because the mayach, the machshava, the thought of all the 10 sfidais, the highest of the sfidais is the chachmor. The chachmor is the machshava. Machshava, the thought of a mind, is chachmor, the brain. And this highest sfida Hashem gave to a person, human being, has this power of machshava, of mayach, of chachmor, and should use that, because this is the key to open up the secrets of Torah. By spending his entire lifetime in fulfilling the basic mitzvah of the study of Torah, yom v'layla, morning and night, and day and night, he's able to deposit for himself a vast treasure. This is called the treasure of Hashem. This mitzvah is one what the din says every person is responsible for. The Rambam says that to the richest, to the poorest, person who is so poor, he must collect stock himself. He must go out to seek bread, food for his family, is never exempt from the study of Torah. Every person, even that person who is so rich that he supports Talmidei Chacham, he pays money for them to study Torah, to share with them the mitzvah of the study of Torah, is also not exempt from the study of Torah. He too must study.
One has more time, can study more. One has a better mind, is required to study more, one less. Everyone must study. Everyone is required to fulfill this basic mitzvah. Now, this mitzvah of Torah, for a person who studies it, purifies his neshama and can serve Hashem that much better. Ben Adal says that Torah and tefillah go together, because as we know, Torah and tefillah is the name of Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the combination of Torah and tefillah. One who combines these two, Kaviyachol completes the name of Hashem and serves Hashem perfectly. We should be zechet to study Torah with all our hearts, devote our time for Torah, and to daven to Hashem. We should be able to study Torah properly, to be zechet, to be blessed with a mind, a brain that can understand and retain the words of Torah, and with the heart that is filled with a desire to fulfill the mitzvahs of Torah. This zechus, the study of Torah and tefillah, we should be zechet to become closely attached to the Tzadik Emes, to the Tzadik Meisha, to Hashem, and to merit to see the coming of Mashiach, the building of the Beis HaMikdash by Hashem. Finally, yizecha to see the Einenu for this Halei Pesach. Amen. 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 Amen.